Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Dr. John Newsom, the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in Houston, Texas, at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. Come by and worship with us every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. I know I can teach you how to use your faith. Hello, Apostle. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. How you doing, Apostle Pastor? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I tell you, the blessings of God are snowballing every day. Yeah. Life is good and it's getting better.
Getting better every day.
Yes, sir. It's getting better every day. God's taking us from faith to faith. I believe God's word.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. It's been getting better every day and every year. Me and my wife talk about that every now and then, how every year God has made things better. Amen. Yeah. He's made things better every day. And I know God is no respecter of persons. When you work the word, the word will work when you work the word.
Yes, sir. Nobody
that's right. Nobody but God. He's a good God, and his power and his blessings are ever increasing.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is ever increasing. There's no decreasing in the kingdom of God. It's ever increasing. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt up. The bush was burning, but it wasn't burnt up. Moses said, I have to go and take a closer look and see what's going on here. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. God was letting Moses know that he saw the affliction that the Israelites were going through. And have heard their cry. God was letting Moses know, I heard them crying. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I'm here to tell you that, you know, sometimes the devil would have you think that you're all alone. God's forgotten about you. God's mad at you. God's turned his back on you. God don't know what's going on. But God knows exactly where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows when you're crying. He knows when you're sorrowful. He knows when you're being afflicted. He knows all this. He even knows the number of hairs, the Bible says, that are upon your head. He says in verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large land. God is telling Moses that I'm come to deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Egyptians, not only to bring them up and out into a land, but and to a good land, but it's going to be a large land. So when God, he brings us up and out into large things, into a large place, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jezebites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee, you Moses, I'll send you, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here's God telling Moses, I'm going to use you, a man. I'm going to use you to go in unto the Pharaoh. Now, that's not a light thing, Apostle. Back in those days, the Pharaoh was considered God on earth. They were the mightiest nation in the world, on the earth at that time. And Pharaoh was considered to be a god. But here, the only true living God is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, telling Moses that, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, now this is something great. This is a great feat. You mean to tell me, God, you're sending me, one man, you're sending me in to go up against the powerfulest man on earth, the Pharaoh of Egypt? Many felt that he was God on earth, mighty army. You're going to have me go in? Now look at verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? And some of us might say, God, who am I for you to use to run this ministry, to start this business? To who am I to take care of a family? Who am I God, to handle this great feat, this great assignment that you have given me? Who am I? And that's what Moses says. Who am I, God, to do this, that I should go unto the Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, who am I? Who am I to do this? Moses didn't feel that he could do this. Go over to Exodus chapter 4 now. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4. Turn right. Exodus chapter 4. And look at verses 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Moses said, I don't speak that well. Who am I to go and face the Pharaoh and to tell Pharaoh to let your people go? Who am I? I'm not eloquent of speech. Neither, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. Moses said, I have a speech impediment. I'm slow of speech and I have a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made the man's mouth? He said, Moses, I made the mouth. That's no problem. That's no problem right there. Who made the mouth? I made the mouth. Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seen or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? God says, I make tongue. I make the mouth. But what Moses was saying, Moses was feeling inadequate. In verse 12, now therefore God says, Moses, now go, and I will be with thy mouth. I'm going to help you in what to say. I'm going to empower your mouth, and I'll teach thee what thou shalt say. The message is what to do when you feel inadequate, when you feel like you're deficient, you're defective, you don't have what it takes to carry out what God wants you to carry out, the big assignment that God has placed in your heart to do. The starting of a radio station, the starting of a TV station, the starting of a church, to start a church or a business, to start a family, whatever it may be, to start a business. Sometimes you can feel inadequate. And so we're going to learn, like Moses learned, we're going to learn what to do when we feel inadequate. Inadequate. That word inadequate means deficient. When we feel deficient or defective. Moses said, I can't talk, but you want me to go and speak to the Pharaoh? But what did God tell him? He says, I am. That's who I am. I'm sending you. I am. I am. You can do this because I am. What was God saying when he says I am? That Hebrew word is Haya, and it means I am in Hebrew. Haya, and it means to become, to occur, to come to pass, to be. God was saying, Moses, I'll be whatever you need in life. I'll become that. I'll be that. I am. I have what you need. I have the power that you need to get the job done. I can be what you need to get the job done. Whatever. I can become what you need to get the job done. I can cause it to occur. I can cause it to come to pass. I remember the Israelites when this is further on. This is after they came out of bondage. But they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Those who are listening all around the world, apostle, they were in the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. They were in the desert. And, you know, one of the necessities that you need in the desert is water. You need water in the desert. And I am became water for them. He became a rock. And that rock, when they would pick up and move their camp in the wilderness, in the desert, and wherever they would end up at, that rock would be there. It was following them in the desert. And water came out of this rock to water them. God became a rock. I am. Haya. To be. It means to be. It means to become. God will become whatever you need in life to win. To have to be successful, to have victory. He became a rock that water came out of to water the Israelites in the desert. What to do when you feel inadequate? Number one, you got to accept that God is all-powerful. You've got to accept that he's the supreme power. You got to accept the fact that God has never failed, and he never will. He's the God that gave our fathers victory, and he's never failed his children in past centuries. He's the supreme power. And that's why when God told Moses who he was, he said, Moses, I am. What was God telling Moses? He said, I'm the supreme power. I'm whatever you need, Moses, to get the job done. All you have to do is accept my sovereignty. That's the first point. What to do when you feel inadequate? You'll squash that feeling of inadequacy once you accept that, hey, wait a minute, God is all-powerful. If he say I can do it, I can do it. He's the supreme power. We've got to accept God's sovereignty, and that will push that feeling of inadequacy out of us. You'll start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are you saying? I've accepted God's supreme power, God's sovereignty. That's what you do. When you're feeling inadequate, accept God's sovereignty. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and look at verse 14 and 15. And God said unto Moses at the burning bush, what did he say? He said, I am that I am. What was God saying? He said, I'm the Almighty. I'll be what you need me to be, Moses, to get the job done, to have success. You just accept that I'm sovereign and go on in and face Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Accept God's supreme power, like Moses did. Accept his sovereignty. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am. I am that I am. What was God saying? He was saying I'm the supreme power. He was saying that I'm sovereign. He was saying that I'm almighty. There's no one above me. I'll become, I'll be whatever you need me to be in life to get the victory. What to do when you feel inadequate? Number one, accept God's sovereignty. Accept that he's the supreme power. There's no one above him. He's almighty, and there's nothing too hard for him. All you have to do is accept that he's all-powerful, he's sovereign, and do what God has called you to do. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 5. We're learning what to do when we feel inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate before? Have you ever felt like, who am I to do this? Who am I to start this ministry? Who am I to start this business? Who am I to run a family, to take care of a family? Who am I? Have you ever felt defective, deficient, like I don't have what it takes to get the job done? All of us have at one time or the other. Well, God is showing us what to do when we feel that way, when we feel inadequate. Because if you keep on feeling inadequate, you won't do anything for God. You'll live a below average life. You'll live a humbug, defeated life if you go on feeling inadequate. You won't do anything in the kingdom of God if you keep on feeling inadequate. You've got to accept God's sovereignty, that he is sovereign, that he has the ability to empower me to do whatever he's placed in my heart to do. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He's saying not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Paul is saying, we're not saying that we have all the power and everything that we need within ourselves. No, our sufficiency is in God. Our ability, we're empowered by God. That's what he's saying. We're doing what we're doing, and we are able to do what we do because we're sufficient in God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Paul was saying, my sufficiency is in God. The ability to carry out whatever I need to carry out, God gives me this ability. Accept the fact that God is supreme power and he's never failed. Accept God's sovereignty and you will overcome that feeling of inadequacy. Number two, that's what Moses did. Moses, he accepted that God is all powerful and he went on and he moved out by faith. That's the second point. You move out by faith. You'll squash that feeling of inadequacy. You'll overcome that feeling of inadequacy, first of all, when you recognize and accept that God's almighty, and number two, when you just move out by faith. We defeat our feelings of weaknesses. We defeat our feeling of weakness when we act. You defeat that feeling of inadequacy when you act on what God has told you to do. When you act on that desire that he's placed in your heart. When you act on that unction that he's given you to do something. When you act, you defeat that feeling of weakness. You defeat that feeling of weakness when you act. You defeat that feeling of inadequacy when you act, when you move out by faith. We all want to feel capable before we act, but that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. We all want to feel like, hey, I'm capable of doing this, and we go ahead and act. But it don't work like that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you step out by faith. You must act. Then God will come with the power that you need. Oh, glory to God. You act. You move out by faith. Then God comes with the healing that you need. Those that he healed in the Bible, he says what? Your faith has what? Made you whole. They were made whole after they acted, after they moved out by faith. That's when the power came to heal. The woman with the issue of blood, she had the issue of blood for 12 long years. She was losing blood out of her body. She heard that Jesus was in town. She knew that Jesus had the power to heal. She moved toward Jesus. She moved out by faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said, I know that I'll be made whole. She moved out on faith. She acted. She pressed her way through the crowd. She made it to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. You see, the power came after she acted. The power came after she moved out on faith. And so to defeat that feeling of inadequacy, you got to move out by faith. Moses was able to be used by God to do great things. Why? Because Moses moved out by faith. He moved out by faith. Nothing could stop him, because he had activated the power of God in his life, because he had moved out by faith. He acted, and then the power that he needed came. That's how he was open to, that's how the Red Sea was opened. Moses acted first, and God opened the Red Sea. If he wouldn't have never went in and faced the Pharaoh, the Israelites wouldn't have been delivered. The miracles wouldn't have taken place. But all those miracles and signs and wonders took place by the hands of Moses because he acted. He moved out by faith. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. You've got to move out by faith. It's time out from talking about it. It's time to act. It's time out for praying about it. It's time to act. Even God had told his children at one time in the Bible, he said, tell them stuff and don't pray, move out, move forward. There's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to pray, but then there's a time to act, to move out. Got to put some hustle with this muscle. Move out by faith. When you do that, you'll defeat the feeling of inadequacy. When you act, then God will come with the power that you need. What to do when you feel inadequate? Number one, accept God's sovereignty. Accept that he's almighty, supreme power. Number two, move out by faith. And number three, look for God to bring you some assistance. Look for God to bring you some assistance. We can't do everything. That's why in the body of Christ, God is made up, the Bible says, of many members. And everyone has at least one gift. And God says you can't. The arm say he can do without the fingers. The hand can't do without the eyes. The eyes can't do without the mouth, and so on and so on. We need one another. So look for God to bring you some assistance to carry out whatever he wants you to carry out. What to do when you feel inadequate? Look for God to bring you some help to help you, some assistance. Moses didn't feel like he could talk well. So what did God do? He said, your brother Aaron is on the way to you now. Now you tell him what I tell you, and go there. Let's read it. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 4, and look at verses 14 through 16. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, because Moses was making excuses. And God said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he's coming now. He's coming forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and he will teach you what you shall do. And you shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So in other words, God sent Aaron with him to assist him. You see, and that defeated that inadequacy, that feeling of inadequacy that Moses had. Because what did God do? He gave him an assistant. He gave him Aaron, his brother, to assist him. Look at verse 27 through 31. And the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And it goes on to say, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction. And then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You see, God sent Aaron to assist Moses. Three things, what to do when you feel inadequate. Accept that God is sovereign, he's all-powerful. Number two, move out by faith, like Moses did. And number three, look for God to send you some help, some assistance. Now, I'm going to close now. There's an animal in the sea called a remoras. Now, this remoras is sometimes called a suckerfish. They are commonly found attached to sharks and whales. They can swim, but they hold fast to the motto, work smarter, not harder. The suckerfish can swim, but what do they do? They attach themselves, for example, to a shark. They benefit by using the shark as transportation to get from point A to point B. I'm talking about a suckerfish. They attach themselves. They attach themselves to a shark. You know, a shark is vicious, a killer shark. They attach themselves to their body. And they use the shark as transportation, as transport. Not only do they benefit by getting transportation from the shark, they also get protection. Because how many other sea creatures you know are going to run up on a shark? See, the suckerfish, he connects himself, he attaches himself to the shark. He gets transportation, he gets protection, and not only that, he also feeds on the materials that drop out of the mouth of the shark. And the algae and all the other organisms that are on the shark's body, the suckerfish eat right off the shark. What I'm saying, it doesn't matter how inadequate we may feel. Just do like the suckerfish. Stay connected to the host, and he will get us where he wants us to go. He'll give us the transportation and the protection and the food that we need, and he'll get us where we want to go. We got to do just like the suckerfish. We just got to stay connected. Stay connected to God. You'll get transported to where you need to go. You get the protection that you need and the food that you need. Just stay connected. And that's what you do. What to do when you feel inadequate.
Amen. Praise God. God is so good. What a lesson out of Exodus. That's a good lesson about the Hebrew boy. Good God Almighty. That's a nice and that suckerfish. Stay connected.
The suckerfish.
The suckerfish. They don't want to stay connected. They want to run out there and do what they got to do. But you know what? Your word has been implied, been delivered. It's been eaten up on, been drank, and we want to thank God. And so we got our beloved pastor. I pray God he's on the line. Pastor, are you there?
Why, most certainly. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, he and your
doing
wife.
Doing great, Pastor.
Doing great.
Good.
How are you, Pastor?
God. I'm blessed and highly flavored. I say flavored because I'm the salt of the earth. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. I like that.
I like that.
How you say highly flavored because you're the salt of the earth. That's good. Highly flavored.
I like that.
Amen. Well, you know, hopefully this next Tuesday night, I'm going to have a friend of mine come on the air with me.
Okay.
He's a minister with Set Free Ministries. I talked to him the other day, and he's going to try to get on. But it's a motorcycle ministry. It's a national motorcycle ministry. They're all over the place, and what they do, they set up places for rehabilitate drug addicts, alcoholics, guys coming out of prison. It gives them a place to stay so that they can get their lives back together. These guys are giving their lives to the Lord, and it just gives them a place to stay. It's not a halfway house or anything like that, but they also give them a job because they have a way for creating income that's not all relying on donations and so on and so forth. They're self-sufficient ministry, and I'll let him talk about it, you know, and the things that he went through his life, drugs and alcohol and everything else. But praise God, I'll have him on with me next Tuesday night. He had things he had to take care of tonight, but he said he would be more than happy to come on and talk with you people, with everybody. So praise God, just keep in prayer that it'll happen. Last Sunday I was talking about faith.
Uh-huh.
And I was in Hebrews 11, and it talks about the faith of those who came faith in the Lord, you know. And as I was talking about it, God gave me a revelation, and it took me somewhere else. And I think this is something that can be said, you know, as we know that Adam fell, but, you know, if we go back for the law, and I don't know why I got off on that subject and it got way out there in the other place, but God's word is the law. You know, whatever he spoke into existence. And he said that the rivers will flow this way, and the birds will fly this way, and the things that creep and crawl upon the earth, they will live this way. And he put it in the law. Everything he spoke into existence. He spoke into whatever it is that the seed that will fall from the tree and replant itself into the ground, and it will come up again and produce fruit. And it went on, and I sat there. And then what he did when he established and he created Adam, and he breathed his life into him, he breathed his spirit into him so he could walk with him in the coolness of the day. But with Adam's disobedience, it was disconnected. And you know, in the churches today, we're preaching about salvation. We're preaching all these other things that are in Christ. But we forget one particular thing, because as I was talking to everybody about being in faith and so on and so forth, you know, God gave Moses the laws. And people, we couldn't keep the law. And so Jesus, when he says he come to fulfill the law, now what you have to look at, those laws that God gave Moses was for us so that we wouldn't fall into the things that Adam fell into, in order to, he kept us trying to keep us safe. And yet we, being in the natural and so on and so forth, we couldn't be able to fulfill and walk in that. So Jesus came, but what he did when he says, I'll make all things new again. And when he sat there and he said he came to fulfill the law, what he did when he went to the cross, that he shed his blood, that he reestablished the Word of God, the laws of creation that God had first created that Adam had lost, because God gave him sovereignty. He gave him dominion over the world and everything in the earth. He gave him dominion over all of it, and he lost it. So when God, Jesus came to fulfill the law, what he did, he came back to reestablish the laws that God had spoken in the first place during creation. When he looked upon the waters, and he sat there, he said, it was good, and let there be light. But even that, through everything else, what I'm go here with this rest of this, he said that when he died and he was resurrected, and those who believe in him will have salvation, eternal salvation. Because what we're looking at in establishing this, it's not far-fetched what I'm saying here, because he said he'd make all things new. So even though he reestablished the law, he reconnected us with the Father in heaven, that from that point on, we're new in Christ, and we became new in Christ. And all things that are covered under the blood of Jesus, those who will come to know him and receive him and through salvation. You know, and I kept on thinking about it, and I kept on looking at it, and I sat there reading this, and it kept coming back into my head under this. You know, because when I was talking about having faith and believing and trusting, a lot of different points back to that very issue. You know, when God told Abraham to take Isaac up and sacrifice him, what Abraham said to the people is, just, "We will be back." So he had faith to know that he was coming back with Isaac. But even though that was a prelude of the coming of the sacrifice that God himself was going to put upon Jesus. If we look at the scriptures and we start reading them and we start looking at it in the respect of what I'm trying to say here, I don't know if you guys if anybody's catching this, what I'm saying, but everything in there, in the Bibles, we know that it speaks about God, and it speaks about Jesus, the foretell of his coming, that of his birth, his death, and of his resurrection. But in renewing, he said he'd make all things new. When he came and was raised from the dead, he reestablished everything for us and those who are in Christ. Amen. That we can walk in the blessings that Abraham had lost. We can walk because he made us new, and he makes us new every day. You know, when we talk about reaping and sowing and so on and so forth, and we're reaping and sowing, we're believing in God for this, or we're believing in God for that. And as we, you know, as we reap and sow, you know, you pull out what you think are weeds. Now, you get it. This is a natural, but you have to look at it in the supernatural because of the things that it goes on about in life. You're pulling up the grass. And you're pulling up the grass, and you're pulling up the flowers and everything else, that you're preparing the land as you continue to sow seed. You keep sowing seed, but you never look into your hand and see what you have. The grass that feeds the cow that produces the milk. The flowers that you're pulling out, whether we're thinking are weeds and so on and so forth, they have the pollen for the bees to make honey. That you're walking in the land of milk and honey. As you continue to sow and reap, as you keep pulling, if you sit there and start looking at what you have in your hand, the blessings that God has put into your hands, and we don't look at it as we look at everything in the natural and we don't see it. But if you begin to sit there and sit back and rely on the Holy Spirit and let him show you, he will begin to show you exactly what it is that you have in your hand. And it's not always prosperity of dollars and cents and so on and so forth. It's what we have in the Spirit. It's what we have in Christ. And that we can do all things. Not just some things. All things. We can do anything that we've set our hearts and minds and desires to do. There is nothing that we can't do. through Christ. We have dominion. We have dominion over mosquitoes. You tell them, say, hey, you know, you'll pick on somebody else, don't be biting on me. We have dominion. We can speak that into those mosquitoes. They have to leave you alone. We have dominion over it. The little things you don't even realize and understand, that's the prosperity of Christ. That's the prosperity of the things that we can do. We don't think of it like that. We don't look at things like that. But that's what God has given us back, the authority. So, like I said, if you go back and you look at Scripture and you start reading, and you see the fall of Adam, and you look at it, and then you see the reason why Jesus had come, and he says, fulfill the law. That was to reestablish what God had spoken into creation. All things. We know that Jesus had to die, and he had to die a sinless life because of disobedience of Adam, that he became guilty. But Satan figured he got it, and he's got it made, and he was going to take out Jesus, but he forgot to understand the law of God. Now check this out. The law of God, he forgot to understand that he killed an innocent man. Therefore, he lost all rights. And through the resurrection of Christ, he reestablished the kingdom of heaven on earth. God speaks about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven on earth. But in all things that were created by God, and he reestablished that. You know, we have to look at different things in different lights. I know we speak about the death and resurrection and salvation. Well, that salvation comes when Jesus died for all of us. It's just the understanding and receiving and knowing we're the first generation of the newness of Christ. We're the first generation of the risen, resurrected Christ. Now we ought to be saying hallelujah, 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 because we're saved because of what Jesus did on the cross, that he came to reestablish everything. And those who are in Christ, those who are following Christ, he said he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. This is something that we should be out right now on the streets. We should be telling the people and get them to understand. We got to get them out there. We get them into the churches and get them to understand the principles of the Spirit of God and who he is and what he done to reestablish so that we all, everyone upon the earth, can walk in that same glory, in that same peace of mind and knowing that Jesus, that his salvation through his blood and death and resurrection, that we have found the trueness and the meaning of God and reestablishing the Word of God, and to reestablish the fact that knowing that what Jesus did, Father in heaven, that we should be saying, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because when we're born into this world. We're not born, we're disconnected from God because we're born into the natural. It isn't until our spirits are awakened of that of Christ and we come into the supernatural. And without the understanding of that, we can't operate in it. We can't see it. And we can't fulfill what God has promised us. We can't fulfill the things that God has prepared for us. We cannot fulfill anything. Because we have that of the lack of faith of understanding. And once we begin to understand, and once we begin to see, and we once begin to hear, and they recognize and the knowledge that God has given each and every one of us, and begin to walk in faith and believe that, to reestablish ourselves for the kingdom of heaven here on earth, knowing that you're walking in the land of milk and honey, each and every one of us that are in Christ. He reestablished everything. We need to really concentrate and think about this. I mean, I couldn't believe when I was preaching the other night, and then this came up and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm going, whoa, what we're talking about what is the present or the future of Christ. But if we don't understand the reason that his foretelling of his coming could reestablish, then there's a lot of stuff that's missing that we need to be able to tell the people so they have an understanding. You're only getting half a story. We falter. We begin to question. We begin to wonder, well, why did he do that? What's it all about? I don't understand. I don't understand, because I had a guy sit there and he says, well, God came and he sat there and for us to have salvation, and he died, and but he didn't get the concept of understanding that the reconnecting. He couldn't grasp that. He couldn't see that. He couldn't understand it. See, God sits there and says, ask for wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of knowledge. Without the understanding, we have all the pieces, but if we can't put the puzzle together and understand how it goes together, it's basically useless to us. We don't have, without the understanding, we were just looking at pictures. We're just looking at this and that and this and that. And we get so distracted into our own selves that we take our eyes and we take our focus off of ourselves or off of God. We put everything we have into ourselves, and knowing that we can move them mountains through Christ, because he says we can. He has established it in us. We can sit there and we can walk upon the water, because he established that in us. We can do all things through Christ. All things. But Jesus, when he ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent him with the total package of everything that Jesus did upon the earth that he gave unto us that we can do. Everything that God gave unto Adam. Everything. There would have been no death. There would have been a continuous life. And that's the saying of what was going on. Adam would have lived for eternity and walked with God through eternity. Jesus has reestablished that so we can walk through eternity with Christ. Yes, he's coming back. He's gonna take judgment upon this earth, but he's gonna replace it. We're walking in that prelude right now of getting to know and understanding, and getting to, you should be excited at the fact that we know that we're going to be in eternity forever with Jesus. We're going to be, he established that salvation for us. And we need to understand that everything that we're doing here on earth is a prelude to what's to come. And we can reject that. And you know, there's a place for that. God established a place for that. He doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves to hell. We don't sit there and we don't ourselves don't recognize the fact. I'm talking about those who are not walking in Christ. Don't recognize the fact, and they become distant. They become leery, because maybe at some point in time they were walking in the faith and believing and fell and stumbled. And yet there was no one there to sit there and pick them up and sit there and bring them forward. You know, so a lot of outreach ministries, a lot of, like even with my friend that's coming hopefully next week, that he reaches out all the time. He reaches out to the lost, those who are stumbling and stumbled in their lives. And many of these guys that he's coming with, or that he's helping, that one time or another they gave their life to the Lord, and they stumbled and they fell, and they've gone to prisons. There's a self prison. There's a prison that binds us up. Even though we gave our lives to the Lord, there's times where we get bound up. We out of fear and out of lack, because we don't have the knowledge, or we don't have the understanding of what God really did and how he did it. And we don't really appreciate it at times, because we're told all these wonderful, wonderful things, and we're looking at the world and we're not seeing it happen. We're, in fact, we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing it being destroyed. We're seeing it being totally dismantled. We're seeing the chaos. We're seeing the everything else that's going on. We're seeing it on a daily basis. And yet, God tells us not to look at that. We're to judge it. And we're to judge our brothers and sisters for the wrongs that they're doing, but not for who they are. We are to judge the things that God has established in our lives, and we have to walk after what God has given us, and we have to judge our own selves. Because if we can't judge ourselves, how are we to judge others? We have to judge ourselves and knowing, and this is all with faith, because we can deny ourselves. We can deny the fact that we're doing this and we're doing that, and we're saying it's okay, and in the Word it says it's not okay. We're denying ourselves that be able to really fully connect and be a part of the glory of God and the fullness of God because of our own selfishness, our own stupidity, our own lack of understanding. We have a chance right now to reconnect. Even those who have given their lives to the Lord and have been following the Lord and wondering, why is this going on? How is this? What is this? What is that? But to really seek and really look for the answers. It's like you said, Apostle Newsom, you know, we need to seek, and we seek the answers of God, and He will give them to us. We seek for His glory, not for our own glory. We seek for His glory. Jesus sat there and He says, Father, glorify me so I can glorify you. If each and every one of us would set our selfishness aside and sit there and say, Lord, have your way, and then begin to walk in it and not question it and not look for an understanding at times why just to do it. It's like I said, you know, as we sit there and we sow and we reap and we sow and we reap, we're pulling out what we think are weeds. And then we understand if you really look into your hand, it's not weeds. Those are what you're pulling up out of the ground, that you're replenishing the ground with new seeds. And when you plant a seed, you say, this is for Apostle Newsom. This is for Dr. Hunter. This is for Bobby. This is for Mary. This is for Sue. This is for whoever. This is for that. And you keep on walking, and those who are walking behind you are reaping what you sown, because Jesus has already planted your path, and all you're doing is you're reaping what He has established for you, that if you'll continue to follow His path and follow Him, you will continue to reap and reap and reap. And then if you look into your hands, like I said, those flowers that's got the pollen, that the honeybees need to make honey, and the cows that feed off the grass that make the milk, that you understand that you're walking in the land of milk and honey.
My God.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, if you get tired, you can eat the cow. You get hungry, eat the cow. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You know,
yes,
I mean, like I said, when God hit me with that, and it really took me, the message, it took me in a whole different direction than what I was really preaching on last Sunday night. And I just said, well, whoa. But God does that. You know, if we allow Him to speak through us, and then, you know, we can get revelation. Even as we're talking, we get revelation. And the understanding, and it's powerful, you know. But we preach our own sermons, you know. We're speaking for ourselves, and we're not speaking for the Lord, you know. So I just praise God that for the revelation that He's given me in a lot of things, you know. And I keep on sitting there and saying, dear God, there's got to be more than what I'm doing. God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And I'm not talking about, you know, having a mansion, having a new car. I'm not talking about anything like that. There's got to be more of Him. We have to hunger after Him. There's got to be more, Lord. There's got to be more of You. Show me. Father, I come before You. I'm asking. Show me. Tell me. Walk with me. Speak to me. Help me, Lord, to understand. And He will. He will. He will relish in the fact that you are seeking him and you are looking, because he has so much for us, for you and me and for everyone else. He has so much to give. You know, little things we see here on earth, you know, even though we see the changing of the seasons, and we're seeing the flowers one season, then we see the snow or whatever it is in another season. We see the stars come up at night and the sunrise in the morning and all, but that is only a fragment of all the things that God has in the kingdom of heaven for us, and all we need to seek, and just keep going deeper and keep looking more and more and keep asking and keep seeking. Don't look at what's going on in your world. Yes, you gotta be aware of it. You have to be aware of the thieves. You got to be aware of all the other stuff. But if you will have faith in the Lord and continue to walk after him and continue to believe and keep seeking and asking, there's got to be more of you, Lord. There's got to be. He will empty himself in you. He will give you everything.
Amen.
And he will give it to you. Amen, amen, amen. Well, brothers, that's about all I have for you tonight. So I just hope that maybe I've opened somebody's eyes and they got to understand a little more the full of Christ and his real destination for each and every one of us, and why he came, and the reasons and the understanding, like that when he came to fulfill the law, that was to reestablish what Adam had lost.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, we have a new tandem that we're moving up. We're seeing God and Jesus Christ to do some things that we've been praying about and believing about. I will say this to all of us who believe. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has said, I shall return. We tell the people out there, the time is now. Tomorrow is too late. Because we never know what tomorrow stands for us. Now, I left this morning to the doctor's office, supposed to have been there at 8:40, got there. They got me there for plenty of time. They did a special thing for me, got there. Said I'd be through it. They said, well, some of the doctors said, well, that'll take about 3 hours. We, me and the wife, sit out there at the hospital at Baylor, out there, and we sit out there for almost 3 hours, from 11 until 3-something this evening, waiting for somebody to come pick us up. But you know what did my wife and I? We took advantage of being there. We sit and talk to each other. We disagreed on some issues. But at the same time, we had an opportunity to call on God and watch God do some things for us. And then we got back home, and here we are. And I'm saying to some of those who are believing, if you're going to do what you said, you got to believe on Jesus Christ. I tell everybody, I don't care. I find more pastors. I'm kind of upset. But I'm praying for them. I have found more pastors who are upset because they can't do what they want to do in their church. Go fly a kite somewhere. Leave the minister alone. I mean, you're damaging yourself. You're damaging yourself because the Bible tells all of us, if you take your hands off the plow, you're not worthy. When you take it, and you're going to stop trying to let God have a free will. Stop putting the fivefold ministry out. We need all of this together. As both of the apostle and the pastor said, we need a unification. This is our time. I ain't going to hell for nobody. I'm not.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to go to hell, be dumb hearing. But I'm not going to be, I'm going to hear what the Lord has said to me. And the Lord told me to press in.
Amen.
So press in. I might say it before I bring up our brother, the evangelist Abraham, in tonight. One thing I always remember that Muhammad Ali, Cassius P, would always say, he said, I don't know which one I'm going to hit you with, but it'll catch you. That's what we got to do with the word of God. We don't know what word is going to hit you with, but we got to put the word. Seeing we are, seeing we're teachers. We're telling him. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, because they don't know. A lot of people say they know some. They don't know what they want to know. We're talking about godly wisdom. I got degrees. I got all kind of degrees. That don't mean mucky, muck, 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 muck. If you don't know the word of God, eagle MC squared is not going to get you into heaven. Knowing the blood of Jesus has washed you and purged you. My time is up. Let's see this, brother. Come on in, brother.
Amen.
Hey, man. Hey. I just thank you. Brother Abraham.
Glory to God. Glory to the Most High God.
Amen.
We thank God tonight for another opportunity to stand before God with his word. Thank God for all those that are tuned in on radio tonight. We just come then to give God glory. And we want to pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with thanksgiving and with praise. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would take full control of this message, the Bible study, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we give him glory. And we ask, Lord God, that you, Father, your word says, he that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. So we come tonight then to hear what thus said the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk on tonight. We started last week on talking about storing yourself up. Paul was talking to a young Timothy, a young evangelist, and he told him, he said, you have to store yourself up. And then we as brothers and sisters, Christians, we have to store ourselves up. Store yourself up. Store yourself up in some love. So we want to touch on love tonight. Love, saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to let you know, Sam, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was the love that he had for you and I. He loved us so much that he was obedient to the Father, even unto death. But I want to talk about on tonight, Sam, love never fails. Love never fails. And I want to start off in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We all know it, and beginning with verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profit me nothing.
Nothing.
And then verse 4 says, love suffers, this is the attribute of love. Love suffers long, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Love is kind. Love is not nasty, not ugly. Don't talk to people saying any kind of way. Saying love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vigileth not itself. It is not puffed up. I see more people saying all puffed up today. Hallelujah. For no apparent reason. Do not behave itself unseemly. Love don't seek itself. It is not easily provoked. So many people get provoked, easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Love don't think evil. Love don't think just any kind of way about somebody. It do not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked. Think no evil. Think no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, Love does not rejoice when it sees your brother or sister fall short or come short of the glory of God. I know he was going to do that. See, love don't get puffed up behind stuff like that. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Seek not his own. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. The love rejoice in the truth. Love beareth all things. It believe all things. Not only do it bear all things, it believe all things. Love it hope all things. And it endures all things. Not some things, all things. Love, verse 8, love never faileth. Love never fails, my brothers and sisters. God is a God that his love never fails. God don't run out of love. He don't get so impatient with us that he stopped loving us. His love is continual because his attribute is love. God is love. And we as Christians have to learn how to walk in love, to love one another. I like what in Romans, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse, it says that, owe no man anything. Don't owe a man nothing but to do what? But to love it. Love him or her, okay? Hallelujah. We have to love people in spite of. Love never fails. Amen? Romans 13:8 say love, say oh, right there, he said, oh no man.
No.
Anything but to love another. For he that love another hath fulfilled the law. Oh no man anything but to love him. Hallelujah. That's all we have to do with one another is to love one another. For this, verse 9 says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. For love, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not cover. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this thing. Namely, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And you say, well, my brother said, well, who is my neighbor? He's not talking about your neighbor next door. He's talking about everybody that you come in contact with. Everybody that you come in contact with, you have to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the church is falling short. If we would learn how to love people, like Jeremiah, like God told Jeremiah, through love and kindness have I drawn thee.
Mm-hmm.
You can't draw nobody's hand with envy and bitterness and jealousy and backbiting and lying. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Love, this is verse 10, says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Amen.
Love just don't do his neighbor any kind of way. Mm-hmm. Steal from his neighbor. Go over to his neighbor's yard and just feel it. Just take his lawnmower, take his tools without him knowing it. Glory to God. Mm. I'll use that for an illustration. Love working no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yeah.
Love is the fulfilling of the law, my brothers and sisters. Yeah. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm going to pause here for a minute and I'm going to let you know that what love is.
Mm-hmm.
The definition for love is affection, and we've lost affection. Mm-hmm. People just there's no affection out there now. People don't care mm-hmm. for one another. And mm-hmm. not only is that love is commitment. Oh, mm-hmm. there's no commitment out there. We're not even committed to God any longer. Come to church when we get ready. We do whatever we want to do in there. So we really don't have a true love for God. Mm-hmm. All that he's done for us. He sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus was obedient to the Father to die for our sin.
Yes, he was.
To shed his blood for us. Well, maybe he didn't do it for you, but I can testify that I was a sinner. Glory to God. On my way to a burning hell.
Yes, yes.
But God sent his Son to reach way down and pick me up out of the muck and mire. And that's why I am so grateful. The choir sung the song on Sunday, grateful, grateful. And see, that's my song. And then it said, I'm looking for a miracle.
Yes.
And then they top it off with, the blood still works. I want to let you know, Zan, even 2,000 years ago, the blood still works.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let you know also, my brother and sister, love, faith worketh by love. If you Galatians 5:6 say faith worketh by love. If your faith is not working, for the Bible says the just shall live by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
If your faith is not walking, check your love walk.
Mm-hmm. All right now.
You heard that. If your faith is not working, my brother, check your love walk. Check your love walk. Mm-hmm. Look what Galatians said. Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. Your faith works because of your love walk.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have no love, then guess what? Your faith is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write that, saying glory to God. Paul wrote that to the Galatian church.
Mm-hmm.
He said, for Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Verse 6 says, Galatians 5th chapter and the 6th verse, he said, but faith, which worketh by love. Now, we say, what is faith? Faith is just simply trusting, believing, relying, and depending upon God.
Amen.
That's why he said, that's why Solomon says in the third chapter, in Proverbs, the third chapter, he says, trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
With all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. No. If we love God, we will trust him.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I love him. I think about the song, and it says, falling in love with Jesus.
Yes.
It is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I know it without a shadow of a doubt that God is the God of love. And the third one is compassion. We talk about affection and we talk about commitment. And love is compassion.
Yes.
We have to learn how to have compassion for one another. The word mercy means compassion. Jesus had compassion and he had compassion on each and every one of us because in the book of Lamentation, he said his mercy is renewed every day. So the word of compassion is renewed every day. The love of God. God love. Hallelujah. And the Greek have four words for love. We talked about it also last week. The Greeks have four words for love. One is, the greatest love is agape.
Mm-hmm.
The God kind of love. The love that looks beyond our faults and see our needs. Glory to God. Because we all have faults. The word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God made a way that we can be reconciled back unto him. First John, I like what First John says. First John 1, and 7. I'm going to start at 7. 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light, Jesus is the light, we have fellowship one with another. We don't need fellowship in the movement, my brothers and sisters. It's hard to get Christians to fellowship with one another.
Amen.
The blood, watch this here, and the blood, then glory to God, everything is up under the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, God's son, cleanses us from all sin.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive, the word deceive means we lie to ourselves.
Okay.
The truth is not in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And to cleanse us from not some unrighteousness, but all unrighteousness. God don't have to do anything. Hallelujah. We say, if we say, glory to God. It's something, I ain't never did nothing. I never sinned. I ain't never did nothing. Stop lying. Because the word says, John is talking to the church. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. His word is not in us. It's so easy to tell the truth. My brother and sister. And look what chapter 2 says. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He is, glory to God, and he is that big word, propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
God loves the whole world, my brothers and sisters. And we frown and look down upon people. When God, hallelujah, saying, we was out there then and doing our thing, dropping it like it's hot, bouncing off the walls, and God still love us.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
So why that we can't love the world like God loved the world?
Mm-hmm.
I still go back to Jeremiah, the 21st chapter, say, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. God, I think if God were a proper whip to me saying, you old dirty, filthy rat, you this, I don't think I came in yet. But he drew me through love and kindness. And that's the only way we're going to draw our loved ones and our families and coworkers and people that we meet then in stores and on highways and byways. We're going to have to love them regardless. Whatever going on in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brother saying, I mean, glory to God, and I love him dearly. But can you imagine saying that somebody puts them out of church because they didn't smell like they smell? I'm hugging, do daps and everything else. Glory to God. And everywhere I see him saying, glory to God. Hey, Brother Abraham, hey, come on, hallelujah. Hey, mm-hmm. You got to love people. You have to love one another. And Jesus, the only way that men are going to know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, in this Christian walk, we can't get around love. We're going to have to love one another. Love one another. Malachi 1 and 2 said, having loved you, said the Lord. I have loved you, said the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we go down to Romans 5 and 8. Say, God commended his love towards us.
Yeah.
And while we were yet sinners, Christ for us. Nothing that we did. Hallelujah. You can do nothing for glory to God. And that's why I like saying when he said, we cannot earn salvation. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God. And he said, it's the gift of God that we don't have no room to boast who I am in this walk. Everything we have comes from God. The talent that we have, teaching, preaching, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, all that comes from God.
Singing,
the voice that God gave us, hallelujah. Being able to articulate the word of God, hallelujah. It all comes from God.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loved us so much. He loved us with an everlasting love.
Yes, yes.
John 15:12 says, this is my commandment. This is my commandment. It's that you love one another. Love one another. I need to take my time then one day there and just count all these times that God said, love one another.
Yes.
And I have loved you. Do you love yourself? Do you really love yourself? The question is asked tonight, do you really love yourself? Do you love you?
Yes.
If you love you, you can't love nobody else, my brothers and sisters. You have to love you.
Yes,
glory
Lord.
To God. Without loving you, you can't love nobody else.
That's right.
Hello. The love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 10 and 12 say, hatred. Hallelujah. Stirs up strife. But love covers all sin.
Mm-hmm.
Again, love, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin.
Mm-hmm.
Corinthians 16 chapter and the 14th verse says, love, let all your things be done with love. Let everything, 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all your things be done with love. Can you let everything you do be done in love? Let everything you do be done in love.
Amen.
The Bible says, you know, Jesus said, you know a tree.
The fruit
it bears.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking about all the citrus trees and all the trees that with the pecan trees, the walnut trees. He was talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
He was talking about the love of the Spirit, the joy, the hallelujah, the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
I know that's right.
That's the love, that's the fruit he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I think we got this thing twisted a little bit. I think we got love and lust mixed up. He didn't say lust after nobody. He said love her.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, he didn't say lust after him. He said love him.
Yes.
And he loved us. Yes, ma'am. It's a difference.
It's a difference.
See, love is not just sexual, desiring somebody sexually, but love is coveting somebody else's stuff.
Yes.
You can lust after somebody else's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You can lust after somebody else's gift.
You
can lust after somebody else's talent.
Mm-hmm.
See, love covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
So, hallelujah. So I have 5 more minutes, and I thank God, but hallelujah. See, we can go on and on talking about the love of God, the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love, my brothers and sisters. 30 minutes won't do it, but hallelujah. I'm going to stay here until the Holy Spirit releases me because we need to walk in love.
That's right.
The church is not going to grow if you're not walking in love.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody running them away. That we can run more people away in the church than I am. I just sit up there and look at that and glory to God. We want to be partial. The Bible says Jesus has no respect of person. He loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He loves everybody, the S-A-M-E, the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you drive. I don't care if you live in a gated community. I don't care whatever you wear. Name brand this, red bottom that. Then God still loves all of us the same.
That's right.
He just hates the sin. He just hates the sin in the sinner, but he loved the sin. He loved the sinner.
That's right.
He hates the sin, but he loved the sinner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we got this thing twisted. We wanna downplay the sinner. Hallelujah. Because he's not like us. And this is amazing to me, that hallelujah. I'm gonna step out of line a little bit, but this is amazing to me that people, Christians, frown on each other because we don't drive what they drive.
Mm.
I just tell them, I say, brothers, you just driving a note.
Yes, all right.
Until you have that piece of paper in your hand, and you just come on, you just have a note, and then when you have a mortgage, you have a 30-year mortgage, and you have the audacity to be puffed up.
My God,
I touched on it, and I ain't ashamed to touch on it. Glory to God. God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes from Him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So I have 3 minutes there, and glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank God, and I just want to pray, hallelujah, before I turn it over. God is an awesome God. He's wonderful. He's loving. He's kind. He's a compassionate God. And I just love Him. I just love Him like He loved me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He didn't have to deliver me when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, but He stepped in and took some things away from me, glory to God, that I've been wrestling with for years, and He's still working on me. So, Father God, we just thank You, Father God, for the word that went forth on tonight. We thank You, Father God, for loving each other, Lord God. We thank You for storing us up, Lord God, like Paul told Timothy to store himself up. To store ourselves up on tonight in love. Lord God, we store ourselves up in tonight in love in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray and we ask, Lord God, these blessings on You in Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. In the wonderful and glorious and marvelous and awesome name, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for loving us so much, Lord, that You sent Your only begotten Son. And we thank You, Jesus, for being obedient, even unto death. Thank You for Your blood. Thank You for Your shed blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We give You glory. We give You praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. My sister,
glory.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
It's under the blood. Under the blood.
Yes.
My past and my future. It's under.
Yes, Lord.
It's under the blood. It's under the blood.
Yes.
Under the blood, I gave my life to Jesus, and it's under the blood.
Yes, Lord.
When friends try to remind me of the sins of my past.
Yeah, glory.
Then I quickly remind them that I'm free. I'm free at last.
Yes.
It's all through God's grace and mercy.
Grace and mercy.
He's washed my sins away.
Yes, Lord.
It's all because the blood of Jesus. You know my whole life has changed. It's under the blood. All because of His love. Under the blood. You know my past, my present, and my future. It's under the blood. Under the blood.
Yes. It's under the blood.
Under the blood. Ooh. You know I gave my life to Jesus, and it's under the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
I want to
amen.
Don't hang up or stay on the line, because I have an announcement to make to some of y'all that just come on our radio station. We thank God for you. We pray for you. We believe God for you. And we just teach only the Bible. We don't criticize, push aside. We teach only Jesus Christ. One of the things I want to do, I had a time reaching up with a lady named Cynthia. And Cynthia and I talked today. So, Cynthia, are you on the line with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, tell them what you're going to do next Monday night.
Well, next Monday night, the same time as this program, 8:30 in your area, and it's 9:30 in our area. It's going to be, I'll be on the radio, the Christians in Action Outreach Ministry. I'll be on there for 30 minutes.
Amen. And so I want everybody that can pray and believe with her and for her that she will do exactly what God has called her to do.
Amen.
And so I just want everybody to know out there is a place called home, and the home is in the heart of the believer. When the believers believe that they believe that God the Father has sent his Son, we can do all things through Christ who sent in us.
Amen.
So that's one thing I want to say. Now, I asked her, does she have a Facebook, and she said nope. But I want to put on Facebook, and it's like I did tonight, I put us on Facebook. I show speaking tonight, Apostle Newsom, Pastor William Irwin, and Evangelist Abraham Johnson. And also, I want everybody to know this here. I want to give you a golden nugget from the scripture. Here's what I found out of the book of Hebrews. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, and said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of the flesh, when he had offered a prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and we was heard in the that he feared. Though we were a son, yet learned he obedience. Here's the key. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Glory.
Thank you.
And he made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Not just obey, all that obey him. Call on God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and heard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Hear up. For that the time you ought to be teachers, you have a need that you should teach one of the God again. The first principle. The oracles of God, and I become such as need me and stone me. So we're just going to pray for her and for many, many more. And I want you to know I love you. Ain't nothing you could do about it. So until next time.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless.